This is the world broadcast of Imam Waqif Deen Muhammad Speaks, the program that's dedicated to community development and human dignity. And now, Imam Waqif Deen Muhammad.
So don't accept this silly idea of freedom, this deteriorated concept of freedom that we have in this world. That's not the right kind of freedom. If you study the development of the term freedom, you'll find that when the wise, when the great educators conceived the term freedom, they didn't conceive it as permissiveness, a license to do anything. That wasn't the way that term was perceived. They perceived freedom as a limited freedom. Freedom as long as you respected certain standards, certain norms, certain given framework that a human being was to live in. Is that not right? That was the idea of freedom. And it actually meant freedom, freedom. It meant the freedom of your intellect, not the freedom of your sex. You have to discipline your sex. You shouldn't have no free sex. Your sex is supposed to be with your wife. So now they make freedom this permissiveness, a license for everything. So they're giving the masses that idea of freedom. So hell, I got a right to be free just like everybody else. Look how they slip in a poison definition. See, freedom used to be something that our souls wanted. The soul of our ancestors were pursuing freedom. And now they change the definition without our recognition. And we're still talking about, we're still using the same term, but it's referring to different concepts. And that's another way that they have to destroy the masses. All right, so let us see here. Looking at sentiments again, human, coming back to the human constitution. Looking at sentiments, we mentioned the tears of joy and the tears of sadness, or the sweet and salty water. Mirth, play. Some people are just moved by the spirit of play. They're just playful people, right? And believe me, those who sit behind closed doors while they praise you in the open, but behind doors, there are whites and other races that criticize us behind closed doors. They call us a playful people. They say, yes, yeah, Negro are very playful. The blacks are very playful. That's how they characterize us, as a playful people. Okay. You know, the ship that sailed, that plot, plowing through the waters, it's got a control. No, the thing that a man, the captain has. They call it a stern, doesn't it? Stern. The stern is the one that keeps it on course, isn't it? If I remember correctly. I think the stern is the thing that keeps the ship on course. The stern. Okay. All right. So what is the stern saying to the wise? And now we have to share with the masses. The stern is saying that when you're in big emotional water, you better have a stern. Stern means not playful. Oh, she has very stern sentiments. That means she does not have playful sentiments. All right? Yes, sir. Okay. Now, you know, I don't have to tell you, all of us will agree that blacks have a higher emotionality than other races. Isn't that all right? The church life is a sign of it. We are more emotional in Christianity than other races. The blues is a sign of it. Rhythm and blues are a sign of it. Our entertainment life is a sign of it. When we have entertainment, we are more emotional than other people. If someone appeals to our emotions, they get greater response than they get from other people. So now, if we are aware of this, if we are aware of this constitution of ours, then we ought to wisely approach it. We ought to wisely manage it. Don't be so quick to just open up your emotional, expose your emotional private nerves and private places, expose this delicate skin of yourself to strangers, to other races, before you even know them. Don't do that. That's ignorance on the part of the ethnic society. The ethnic society that you see move with caution, they got more intelligence than the ones that just expose their very private, sensitive, delicate skin to people they just meet. Don't do that. That's a sign of immaturity, sign of ignorance on the part of a society. And that's us. Right now, I'm talking to you. But if a foreigner would come up here, he could come up here and take my place and talk to you, and you all would just be just a happy. More than 50% of you all would accept a foreigner to come up and interrupt my talk. If I didn't show no resistance. If he came up here, said, oh, assalamu alaikum, brother, ma'am. I said, walaikum assalam. Said, yeah, it's a beautiful crowd you got here. Said, brothers and sisters, happy to see you. You live. How are my brothers and sisters? It's fine, it's fine, it's fine. Instead of saying, wait a minute, mister. The man is talking to us, he's saying something important. Can you wait? Introduce yourself later. Don't interrupt our speaker. See, you haven't been trained like that. You haven't come up like that. You've been trained to think somebody that doesn't look like you is doing you a favor to come in your society. See, slavery is behind you in your memory. It's in your genes. It's in your spirit. See, you're used to hearing that white people don't like you. That white people think you're inferior. That people think they're better than you. You're used to hearing all your life through your genes, generations behind you. That you are inferior to other people. So you think it's a blessing, it's a credit, it's a gift of kindness, or it's a courtesy, it's a love blessing, if a foreigner come in your thing. And what you first should do is say, hey, what you want, mister? That's what you first should do. If you have intelligent, mature social sensitivity, you would say, not emotionality, social sensitivity. You would say, hey, mister, say, what, are you coming to attend the meeting? He said, yes. Well, have a seat. He said, I'm sorry, I got a condition. I can't sit down. I have to sit in this chair. Oh, well, why didn't you say that? Oh, look, don't sit right in that door in front of us like that. Take a seat back there. Will someone take him and sit him back there? You don't have no right to sit in that door that we don't have. Now, I think a lot of you know what I'm referring to. Yeah, well, now you got to come in and sit in the door. In a chair and sit in the door. What are you trying to suggest? Want to spook somebody up? No, don't just sit in the door. You just tell him, I don't care who you are. You get no respect than your leader. No, I mean, this is my duty. To help us mature our social sensitivity. So we find that above all is what? Systems. Systems. And we talk about this. The system is wrong. If the system is wrong, what are you doing about correcting it? Or if it can't be corrected, what are you doing about conceiving a new one? Or looking for a better one? There are systems within systems. And we invite you to an Islamic system. I guarantee it's good. Certainly it's good. I don't care what the state of the Islamic world is. The system is good. The leaders have been deceived. Or the people have been deceived to accept bad leadership. The system is good. They just don't represent it. Oh, so we look above us, and this is a system here, isn't it? We belong to a system. The whole system that we belong to is called the sun system, the solar system. But above us are many other systems. This is just one. They say there are millions of systems. And when we look at the sky at night, we see millions of systems in the stars, right? And the stars and the systems and the order that they take in the heavens. Now, dear beloved people, if systems are above us, what does that indicate? That indicates that highest in your achievement is to achieve systems. Yes! You need a methodology, but even more important than that, a methodology has to have a system, right? Say, now I got a good method, but do you have a system for it? Is that method contained within a system? Is it protected and preserved within a system? Can it apply to many systems? Is it a universal method? Okay, well then relate it to a system, right? If you don't relate it to a system, you'll misuse it, or you won't get the benefit. Okay, system. The heavens exist in us individually. We go off from our individual self, and as we go out, we find that this self is contained within system. Right? Now, look what's going to happen now with the language. Now, if we want to locate our motivation needs, as understood in our environment. So that's all. If it wasn't for the environment, we wouldn't have any needs, would we? No, we wouldn't have any needs. You're a product of the environment. That's why you have needs. Okay. So we find that human being and his environment, he wants to experience joy, warmth, light, and growth. He won't experience these things. And where there is no nerve, though, well, there's just no motivation. Because motivation depends upon nerve, doesn't it? There has to be some nerve to register something. Then there's a motivation. You see? Now, the solar system, what is it? In other terms, or can we phrase it differently? We can say it is a network, isn't it? Yeah, solar system is a network. Now, how do they describe the human symmetry, or the human anatomy, or whatever you want to call all this? How do they describe it in its vital functions of operation? The sun is in the center, the earth, the bodies go around it, right? Now here, describing a human being, he has what they call the solar plexus. And they say it represents that network of nerves vital to the internal function. Is that not right? Oh, yes. Yeah, I know, because as a boxer, they say, give him a good uppercut to the solar plexus, he might drop his guard. Then he can get a shot at his chin. Clear shot of the chin, you know. They used to tell me that, say to me to be a boxer, you see. They told me about the solar plexus. So, now, if you understand that much now, what should that tell us about the language? Well, after all, what are we talking in except language? What are we thinking in except language? So if the language says something, we should be interested. Because it's going to tell us something about the thinker who conceived the term, while it's telling us something about his language or his term, right? Yes, when we know something about his term, that tells us something about him. All right, so now if they tell us the solar system is the Earth's family that has other bodies, Mars and all these around it, and the center of it is the sun that is called solar, right? Sun and solar. Okay, so what does it tell us? We know what the soul means. S-O-L-E. One. Wasn't a soul there. Means wasn't a single person there. Right? So soul means one. Solar system. One system. Ain't no two suns, one sun. Is that not right? Okay, now they tell you this is the solar plexus. And we were talking earlier in this talk on faith, couple of weeks, days ago, we were talking about the importance and understanding that you don't have two hearts. That you only have two hearts. And the heart is symbolic of your conscience. Your inner conscience. Your social conscience. Symbolic of your most vital conscience. Right? Oh, yes. Now, if the sun is so important to this universe, what does sun give? Sun gives comfort to this world. Right? Son gives movement to the world. Son gives growth to the world. Son gives life to the world. Is that not right? All right. Now, if that's so important for movement, comfort, growth, everything. Don't you know the sun moves the air? Sun moves the water? Now, if the sun is so important to the solar system, and they call this now solar, right in the center here, right there. That's the solar plexus, right there. If they call this solar for my body, then this must be more important to all of this. Right? See how you can nail them down? They can say, I can tell them, say, Father Muhammad said that if there's a piece of meat, when it's all good, when it's good, it's all good. When it's bad, it's all bad. He says, and it's the heart. And I can go and on and talk about the importance of the heart in the consciousness of a democratic society. And Prophet Muhammad's heart was what merit him the revelation. God says, and we revealed it on his heart. We entrusted it to his heart. So his heart what merit him the gift of revelation. And we can go on and on talking about the heart. Now, if the scientist that supposed to be the ruler of empiricism, if he now says that the sun is solar, and the solar system is this system of bodies of worlds that go around the sun, we know it's important to his family. We know it's important to this earth. Now he calls this solar plexus. So you're hiding something from the masses that you're working with yourself, you dirty damn devil bastard. Can't you see it plainly? Yes. So he got up looking for his tools. His tools of science. Following signals. And not following Allah's signals. He signaled us, go that way. Let your mind go that way. Let your mind. Allah signaled us. He didn't want us to follow Allah's signal. But now Allah, with his word, has brought us home. He has brought us home. Now, are we going to now worship them still? You would be foolish and ungrateful to go back and worship the white man's world, worship his system, worship his institutions, and let people shame you out of following this leader because I don't have that credential. You would be a fool, right? That's why the black stone in the Kaaba starts our circle. We go to the Kaaba, we find where the black stone is in the Kaaba. And from that corner of the house, we begin our circle. We make our seven circles, complete them, and we go on for the rest of the rituals or the rites of the heart. That black stone is a symbol of what? The heart. But not the heart above our heads. The heart that have accepted to be on our level. In other words, the heart that has died. See, when the heavenly body falls from the sky, it's white and lit, flaming in the sky. But when it falls from the sky, it cools off, it becomes dark. So the stone in the corner of the Kaaba was a star, was a mirror. Not a star, what do you call it? A mirror. It fell from the sky, and it didn't burn up. It cooled on earth, black. And Prophet Abraham, peace be upon him, he took it as a sign that God wants him to make that the orienting, or the lining stone, the corner that lines up the rest of the structure. So he made it central, or he made it vital to the construction of the whole house, the Kaaba. Prophet Muhammad put it back in its place. That's why we know it wasn't put in a different place. Prophet Muhammad put it back in its place. So he placed it back into the corner of the house. And the scripture that came before the Quran says, and the rejected stone became the corner of the building. That's what scripture says. What is the rejected stone? The heart. What is the heart symbolic of? Social conscience. Social conscience. The heart pumps blood to all the members of the body. It's like the mother taking care of all her children. And where is it all coming from? Internal. Is that not right? Internal. The internal organs, the internal organs, they supplying the extremities, the outer members, with what they need for their life and operation. Even the brain is supplied by the internal organs. Right? Praise be to Allah. So it's symbolic of the social conscious. Rightly established. Don't go proud up into the heavens. Don't be like the sun that rises and sets. Come on down with your fellow man and stay with him. Yes. Certainly it's beautiful. Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, who is the prophet with the complete revelation, the last of the prophets, that is, to be sent by Almighty God for the benefit of human beings, human society, of human beings. It is important to understand the Sunnah of the Prophet. The Sunnah of the Prophet. Sunnah is a very important term in our religion. And it has been described as the way, our manner in which something is done is the Sunnah by an individual. His Sunnah is his way of conducting his affairs. That's his Sunnah. Some of us mix Hadith and Sunnah. Although these are very close, they're not the same. Hadith is the report of the Sunnah. Hadith is the report of the Sunnah made by others, and they reported what the Prophet has said. Hadith also means anything that's communicated is a Hadith. The Quran itself is Hadith. And it says, and what better Hadith will you find than this Quran? This is what Allah says in Quran. So Hadith is something that is communicated, and it ordinarily refers to discussion, talk, discussion of talk. When that discussion of talk is reported, then it becomes recorded Hadith. For the Prophet, I'm sure we understand what we're talking about. The recorded Hadith of the Prophet. The sayings, doings, the life of the Prophet, how he conducted himself, how he demonstrated the principles and teachings of the religion in his life, so that others would see the correct example or would know the correct model or example to follow. And Allah Most High says in the Quran that you will find in Prophet Muhammad the most excellent model. Most excellent model. So in the Quran itself, Allah has given us Muhammad as the model for us to model ourselves after our conduct, life, and the religion. After him. To model our life after him. Now again, Sunnah of the Prophet. There's a term too, Sirah. Of the Prophet, Sirah of the Prophet. And Sirah is a term in history, refers to the history of the Prophet. And the history of a Prophet will include language that will not be as restricted to the words of the Prophet as the Hadith. The Hadith is restricted to the words of the Prophet. And Sunnah, again, it refers to the way that the Prophet himself conducted himself. The Sunnah of the Prophet, the way that he conducted himself. And whatever occurs, it happens in a certain way. There's a manner or procedure. But whatever occurs, even if it happens haphazardly, in no orderly fashion, there's still a way. That's how we describe it, right? Yeah. So there's a description for whatever occurs. There's a description for how it occurs. So the Sunnah is a description of how Prophet Muhammad lived his life. The Sunnah of the Prophet. And we have two prayers that is two rulings for prayers. And one is Fard, which means, Fard means obligatory, must. You cannot excuse yourself from those prayers. And then we have Sunnah prayers. And these Sunnah prayers, they have also a strong reference to, I would say, must duty, obligatory duty. though they are not listed as part of them, they are very strongly recommended. Very strongly recommended. If you understand the Sunnah of the Prophet, then you will understand that Farad requires to what your nature has established as its need, Farad. And Sunnah refers to what the enlightened conscience of man has recognized as a need. So Allah, the Creator that is, the Creator, He prepares us on the level of nature and on the level of human conscience. And Prophet Muhammad, his particular leadership represents the excellence that God has given man on the level of human conscience. So if we understand this, then we should understand that to follow the Prophet Muhammad is to follow his sunnah. You cannot do farad and say you follow Prophet Muhammad. To follow Prophet Muhammad is to follow his sunnah. And his sunnah is so important to society because it is the enlightened conscience of the individual that corrects wrongs done in the society against the individual. So actually the Prophet himself, he is the center of attention when it comes to the needs of the individual. What the individual needs to preserve him in society. What the individual needs to keep him from being oppressed. It is the sunnah of the Prophet. That's what you need. The sunnah of the Prophet. Prophet Muhammad, in his personal life, is a demonstration of the rights of the individual. We know this by many, many facts, evidences in Quran and Sunnah. We know this. But I will recall only one now. In the Quran, Allah says of Prophet Muhammad, he says, and I am a free man in this town. So Allah established the right of the individual. He was born in that town. He was a native of that town. And he had the rights of any other man. So he says in the Quran, and I am a free man in this town.
You've been listening to Imam Warif Deen Muhammad.